This is A Cooler Death Than This, written by Afterism, and read by Tipsy Kitty. Steed Bonnet dies when he's 12 years old. It's only for a minute. Less than that, probably. Nigel doesn't understand what all the fuss is about. He's breathing now, isn't he? Honestly, some boys will do anything for attention. Pathetic. Steed doesn't really believe he died either, but this week Nigel's pretending he doesn't exist instead of tormenting him, so maybe he should almost die more often. Steed doesn't feel any different, although his throat still hurts when he coughs. If anyone asked, he would say he saw bright lights and angels and heard the harps calling him up to heaven, but no one does, so Steed just rehearses it in his head. It was very peaceful, he would say. I felt very loved. Everyone follows Nigel's lead, so none of the other boys are really talking to him at all. It's quite nice, actually. He can pretend they're all smiling at him when he walks past, as long as he doesn't look at anyone. Maybe he could even sit in the quad and read, and maybe someone would come and ask what he's reading, and he could tell them all about the amazing adventures and they would want to act them out with him. But Nigel's there when Steed looks out the window, and even Steed knows some things are beyond hope. He heads to the library instead. There's a room right at the top, some kind of tower that looks over the fields, up 3 flights of narrow stairs that gasp over the space below. It's a long way up. Steed always holds on to the handrail very tightly. No one else is ever there. Steed always hopes someone might join him, but they never do. But today there's a boy, leaning against the opposite window, looking out. There's something odd about his clothes. But Steed is too delighted to really notice. "Hello," Steed says. "Do you come here to read, too?" "What?" the boy says, his head whipping around, and Steed screams. His name is Leon, and he's not very nice. Steed doesn't like to look at his face, so he reads the books that Leon tells him to and gets very good at doing the voices, even though Leon always tells him he's pronouncing the names wrong. Leon doesn't know how long he's been here, and he thinks the king is called William, and Steed is simply delighted to have a friend. The dead are far more polite than the living, Steed has found, especially when they can't follow him. He gets used to the sight of blood, ruined faces, stained shirts. He knows the correct answer to who won the war is your side, of course. He's never felt so popular. And the only problem, as far as he can tell, is that he's rather bad at telling whether someone is alive or dead. "Are you filthy phantom?" are the first words Nathaniel Buttons ever says to him, and Steed knows immediately that this is the man he needs aboard his new vessel. "I'm not, but I commend your courage in asking," Steed says, and steps closer. The docks are loud with the morning bustle, the scent of salt and seaweed clinging to the roof of his mouth. Steed has never felt so alive.
Do you get many people saying yes?
Button shrugs.
"Sometimes," he says. "It's always polite to ask, eh?"
"I usually just look for any noticeable wounds," Steed says. "Cut throats, that kind of thing."
"Aye," Buttons nods. "That helps.
An aura of otherworldly phantasms is also a clear sign, I can tell ye." "Really?" Steed says, genuinely fascinated. "I could use a man of your vision. Would you like to join my crew?" Buttons looks him over, and Steed finds himself drawing upwards, standing tall. He cuts a rather fine figure, if he does say so himself. There's no other sailor in such a vivid shade of blue to be found in this whole town. That must have been why those oddly dressed fellows were so dumbstruck to be asked for directions towards the most experienced sailor money could buy.
"Aye," Button says after a long minute. "I reckon you'll be needing me."
"Do you see them too?" Steed says, looking up at his ship. It's almost noon, the sky glowing blue, and the deck is alive with half-formed shapes. The rest of the dockyard is oddly silent.
"Aye," Button says. "It's an old ship."
"The shipmaster assured me she had the finest pedigree," Steed says, lifting his chin. "I had her kitted out with all the latest mod cons, of course. This season's colors, a full library,
The new figurehead.
I can see that. Button says levelly. She's seen some action, all right. You may want to do an exorcism before we leave port.
Oh, really? I rather like the idea of a ghost ship of my own. Will it cause too much trouble?
Nah, they'll be no bother. These are your regular workman-type ghosts. They'll keep the ship sailing through the long nights without a word of complaint.
That sounds perfect, Steed says, beaming up at them. Do they take instruction well?
Nah, that's the problem. We'll just have to hope they want to go in the same direction we're heading. Otherwise, we may spend a lot of time covering the same ground, eh?
Right, yes, Steed says, gazing at the shapes in the shrouds, the figures busying themselves with hauling empty lines and securing fixed ropes. Well, I have no particular destination in mind. We'll let the crew decide.
Buttons looks at him out of the corner of his eye. That's the other problem, he says. You'll need some living folk, too, for the day work, like. And if you ever want to shift anything more than the memory of cargo.
Oh, really? Yes, I suppose you're right, Steed says, still looking up.
And you'll never find a bunch more superstitious than sailors. You won't get a single man aboard if they know she's haunted.
I'll just have to be creative with the truth. I'm rather good at that, I've found.
Or we could just cleanse the ship, Button says, rocking on his heels. It's been an age since I've done a good cleansing.
No, Steed says. I'll just find normal people and turn them into sailors. And then into pirates.
Good luck finding any of them.
To Steed's surprise, even normal people don't want to sail on a haunted ship.
I'll ask around for ye, Button says. Find some desperate folk to get us to the next port, at least.
That'll be lovely, Steed says, and sighs.
Don't tell him about the ghosts, Buttons adds.
I won't. Ah, you must be one of my new crew, Steed says as he walks into his cabin. It's a lovely surprise. He spent a day walking the docks, calling out for experienced sailors. Looking for adventure and renown. Definitely no ghosts aboard. Level-minded applicants only.
Must be, the fellow in his cabin says. He certainly looks experienced. He looks like a pirate, even. All that practical leather and a beard.
He's staring at Steed with the largest, widest eyes Steed has ever seen. And Steed suddenly realizes he's being rude. Steed Bonnet, Captain, he says, striding forward with his hand extended.
Shit. The man says, looking at Steed's hand.
He looks at his own, spreading them out in front of him before he snaps them firmly behind his back.
My name is Ed. I don't shake hands.
My apologies, Steed says, and copies Ed's pose. It looks very strong. Commanding, even. Bad of me to assume, I know. We're very accepting here in the Revenge.
Are we?
Ed says. And there's something very inviting in the curl of his smile, the warmth of his voice, like they're already sharing a joke. It's a bit like everything Steed has ever wanted. Steed takes a deep breath and beams at him. Would you like a tour?
I've been rehearsing it in my head for weeks.
All right, Ed says, and it sounds a lot like he's laughing, but Steed's rather used to that, so he doesn't mind at all.
The refurb nearly didn't happen at all, Steed says, halfway through the tour.
The workmen kept complaining about, well, work shy is what the foreman said, he says, darting a glance at Ed.
Hard to get the right crew these days, Ed agrees. You gotta know how to keep them on their toes.
Exactly. That's just the problem I've been having, Steed says. Do you, have much experience in command?
Yeah, a bit, Ed says with a shrug. I'm pretty good at making my presence felt, he says, because he's having far too much fun.
Marvelous. I know just who to come to if I ever need a spot of advice. Ah, not this, Steed says as he sweeps back into his cabin. This is my pride and joy. I think of it as my good luck charm, actually. The whole process seemed to go a lot smoother once my books were on board.
Makes sense, Ed says, because it does.
He'd taken one look at that and told his crew to lay off. Help a little, even, when no one was looking. He'd wanted to see the captain insane enough to put a library on his ship. He just hadn't expected the captain to be able to see him.
Can you keep a secret? Steed asks, and Ed snatches his hand back from skimming over the back of the sofa, that fine-looking scarf a breadth away from his fingertips.
Of course, Ed says, looking up.
Dead men tell no tales, he almost says, and bites his tongue so hard he nearly remembers pain.
Don't tell anyone else on the crew, but I'm afraid this ship is quite haunted.
Huh, Ed says, and then,
yeah, mate, obviously.
Obviously? Oh, you can see them too.
Ed pauses.
Yes, he says.
Wonderful.
Steed beams. If one man isn't afraid of them, I'm sure we'll find plenty of others ready to sign on. Can't sail anywhere without a living crew, can I?
I don't know. I reckon you and me could handle this ship by ourselves.
Steed laughs, bright and surprised, and something flares warm in the cavity of Ed's chest. He didn't think that was possible anymore.
Fuck, Ed thinks.
Back in a sec, Ed says, and only just remembers to go through the doorway instead of straight through the wall. He needs to tell his crew to stop scaring away all the potential recruits, because Steed's right. What this ship needs is some fresh fucking blood.
First order of business, the rumors about this ship being somewhat spooky at night.
It's haunted, Lucius says.
Super fucking haunted, Pete agrees.
Now guys, I thought we agreed not to use that word. If there are any spirits aboard, and I'm not saying there are, we don't want to offend them, No one likes to feel unwelcome in their place of work. They're not haunting, they're helping.
So there are ghosts.
I didn't say that.
Can they, like, hurt us?
Of course not, Steed says. They just want to do all the work so you don't have to.
Wee John raises his hand.
Do they get paid same as us?
Ah, no, Steed says. They don't seem to want anything at all as far as I can tell.
So there definitely are ghosts,
Roach says quietly, and touches his fingertips to his mouth.
Right, so they do all the work and we get paid? Frenchie asks, frowning.
Steed weighs that thought, tilting his head.
You could put it like that, yes, he says.
All right, Finchie says, settling back against a sack of onions, and strums a happy chord. There's only one problem with having two crews on one ship, Steed has found. There's some disagreement about what flag they should be flying.
Nah, don't worry about it. It's just Izzy trying to make a point. No one's looking at our mast at night anyway.
Izzy is the ghost in charge of all the others, as far as Steed can make out, who wears the wound across his throat like an honor, and seems to find a venomous joy in walking straight through the nearest wall whenever Steed tries to talk to him. Steed really must ask Ed how he's managed to get a word out of him. But what if the real Blackbeard sees me flying his flag? Won't he be angry? Ed stares at him for a long, uncertain moment.
He'll get over it, Ed says. I heard he's dead, anyway.
Steed flaps a hand.
Oh, rumors. You can't kill a man like that. He's a legend. A god of the sea.
He's just a man, mate.
Ed says, a little gruffly. Maybe he's not a fan, Steed thinks.
I reckon a stray bullet could get him on a bad day.
Psh, Steed says, and turns away, busying himself with tidying his scarves. Ed leans against the edge of the desk, and is very careful to never turn his back. Ed likes to think it's the boredom that killed him. The British Navy just happened to be passing by at the time. He doesn't realize Steed has done something incredibly stupid until the day crew are piling into Steed's cabin and are being kitted out like they're not pirates at all.
Blackbeard, didn't we kill you?
Ed scoffs.
Might have fucking tried, mate.
Nigel looks him over.
Any fool can see that you're dead. Don't tell me Baby Bonnet managed to murder you, too.
Might have,
Ed says, straightening up, standing taller.
Yeah, maybe he did. Ran me straight through the heart.
He didn't,
Nigel says, nasal and laughing.
He doesn't have the guts.
Ed shrugs.
He's subtle, sneaky-like. Creeps up when you don't expect it and brains you with his fancy ways.
Nigel snorts, dismissing him with a turn of his head that seems to wobble down through his whole body. It's such a bizarre move that Ed itches to copy it, see how it feels in the memory of his bones. But he rolls his shoulders and sets his jaw and looks at Steed instead. Steed hasn't even glanced their way. He's still staring at this fuckhead's body, his fists clenched and his skin fish-belly pale, and he's got the competent one coaching him through what to do after his first kill, which is great. Fucking peachy. There's nothing but a gauzy curtain and the barrier of life and death separating them, and Ed can't do anything to help him.
"I'm going to haunt the shit out of him,"
Nigel says, laughter tucked like a plum into his cheek, and then he looks down. The tip of the sword almost scratches the ceiling of Steed's berth. Ed's hand is firm against the middle of his chest.
"Not on my fucking watch, mate,"
Ed says, and Nigel stares at him with his one good eye.
"Best shift those hostages quickly, mate,"
Ed says the next morning. Nigel has been squirreled away somewhere. Izzy's hand heavy on his shoulder, even as they both glared at Ed with equal hatred, and whatever passes for Ed's heart is feeling light with hope. "Hostages," Steed says, blankly, and then, "Hostages." "Oh, yes, my first hostages. Both still alive and no sign of Nigel. It's wonderful, isn't it?"
"Very impressive,"
Ed agrees. "And he's dead. He can't feel warm." But something about the way Steed beams at him makes something inside him light up anyway.
You can probably sell them in the Republic of Pirates. That's what I do,"
Ed says. "The Republic of Pirates," Steed breathes, his eyes bright. "I have just the outfit." The problem with haunting a ship, Ed has found, is that you can't leave it. Nigel, on the other hand, is haunting a person, and can go wherever Steed goes.
"Fuck,"
Ed says, as Nigel gives him both middle fingers from across the harbor. "That went rather well, I thought," Steed says, holding a blood-stained handkerchief to his nose. "I only talked to a couple of people who I think may not have been wholly alive, and they were very helpful nonetheless. I really think I found my spiritual home. No one seems to care at all if you're talking to someone no one else can see." Ed has never wanted to touch him so desperately. Wait, no, that's a lie. He always wants to touch Steed. But right now he feels like he should if there was any fairness left in the world. There's too much red on his insane white coat, and Steed assures him it's not his, and that it mostly came out of glass, and he hasn't had such a good day on land in years. But Ed still wants to press a hand against Steed's chest and feel his heart beating for himself. It was a bit worrying when Nigel kept turning up, but I managed to leave him on the docks. So definitely an all-around success, wouldn't you say?
"Definitely,"
Ed says, and wishes he had a drink, a gun, something. Steed gingerly lowers the handkerchief and considers his own blood. "I really thought that man with all the bullet holes in his waistcoat was a ghost. Turns out he just stole it off a corpse. Imagine that. Pirates are so resourceful."
"You need to get better at defending yourself, mate,"
Ed says, and Steed looks up, looks at him. Ed is suddenly very interested in his own boots. "Well, yes, I could certainly do with a bit of practice, I suppose. I'm not even entirely sure where my sword is," Steed says, and when Ed glances up, Steed is looking around his cabin with a frown.
"I could teach you,"
Ed says.
"He has a sword.
He can make ting sounds with his mouth. He can make sure that when Steed dies it's on this ship, instead of on land and out of reach." The sword lessons are going really well. He makes Izzy hide behind the mast and make the ting noises whenever their swords are supposed to clash. It's fine. Izzy owes him. Until Ed forgets himself. "Ed, you've been shot," Steed says. 2 steps behind him as Ed walks into Steed's cabin, feeling more alive than he ever did before he died. He forgot about the candles, the bright light, the massive gunshot wound punctured through his leather jacket.
"Have I?"
Ed asks, and belatedly remembers to look over his shoulder, twisting like he can see the back of his ribs if he just cranes his neck enough. He should act surprised. He should... Ah, fuck it.
"Fuck,"
Ed says flatly. Sit down. Or should you lie down? Oh, bugger, I don't know. I'll get some bandages. I'll get Roach.
I think it's too late for me, mate.
Nonsense, Steed cries. Roach is a marvel. He'll have you fixed up in no time at all. We just have to get you to the infirmary.
Yeah, nah, Ed says, and throws himself down on the sofa. There's no recovering from this. It took a miracle to fix me up, and you'd need to find my body first. And my head.
What? Steed asks, paused halfway between the sofa and the door, jittery with indecision.
Body's probably somewhere on the ocean floor, Ed says, squinting at the ceiling. Sometimes I get a weird prickle down my leg like a crab's picking at me. Not sure about the head. Honestly, the bullet's the least of your worries.
Oh, Steed says, and then, oh. And then one more time. Oh.
Sorry,
Ed says when the silence stretches thin and brittle. That makes sense, I suppose, Steed says, a bit like he didn't hear him. My first ever friend was a ghost, and he only talked to me because no one else could see him.
Dick, Ed says. Not you. I wouldn't have talked to him.
We were both very lonely, Steed says, looking at the floor.
Sorry,
Ed says again. This wasn't how he imagined this going. But then again, he tried not to imagine this at all. He kind of hoped Steed would die soon. And then maybe Ed could pretend he'd just died as well.
I was really fucking lonely before you came along, he says,
because Steed isn't looking at him, and it's almost like someone put a hand through his chest and is twisting the nothingness inside him.
You had your crew,
Steed says, and sits down heavily in the armchair nearest the door.
Not really, Ed says with a shrug. They're just gray shapes, mostly. I was bored out of my skull, man. Nearly haunted you off the ship just for something to do until I realized how fucking fascinating you were.
Really? Steed says, and finally looks up. You wanted me to stay?
Fuck yeah, of course I did,
Ed says, and Steed's expression brightens like a sunrise.
Goodness,
Steed says, looking so kissable and untouchable that Ed realizes this is, possibly, his own personal hell.
I'm so glad you bought my ship, man,
Ed says. Instead of doing all the things he wants to do with the body he no longer has. And Steed beams at him.
It's a pleasure to have her. And you. Aboard, I mean. Steed says, still smiling.
We could call her whatever she used to be known as, if you like.
Nah, Ed says. And settles down more comfortably. Queen Anne's Revenge is a bit of a mouthful. I like your version.
Oh, Steed says. And then he sucks in a breath as his eyes go very wide. Your? Ed doesn't keep track of the days, but it feels like they have a good run until they meet a ship too big, a crew too fierce.
Bugger, Steed says from the deck. That fucker almost got me. I think he did, mate,
Ed says, and takes him by the hand.
The end.